Well, as you've already heard this morning, we are commencing our fourth week in our current series looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. Jane introduced this series to us a few weeks ago from John chapter 6, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and continued on from John chapter 8, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Last week, Michelle educated us about sheep and roast lamb, if you were here. And in John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And today we've already heard from John chapter 11, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Right from the outset this morning, I think I need to declare that I love this account in Scripture. But as I have been preparing and reflecting on it over the last couple of weeks, I don't think that I've ever spoken on this passage before. Like some of you, I'm sure, my earliest recollection of John chapter 11 comes from my days in Sunday school when we were required to memorise Scripture. And someone would inevitably call out, yes, I've learnt a verse, it's John 11:35, Jesus wept, which is the shortest verse in the Bible, if you don't know. And while I laugh about it, I think it's actually this verse that draws me into this passage, because in it we see that Jesus was a man, a human who had emotions just like us. He was, in fact, truly and properly man and truly and properly God, as it says in our statements of faith, the fourth doctrine of the Salvation Army, but it says it in reverse. I want to pick up this morning almost where Michelle left off. And Jan has already given us a little bit of detail around this. But in John chapter 10, Jesus had just stated that he was the good shepherd. It says in the scripture that it was winter. It was the Feast of Dedications in Jerusalem. And Jesus was in the temple area, and some Jews came to him and said, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, Jesus said that he'd already told them, but they didn't believe him. And he continued to speak using more metaphors. The Jews were clearly frustrated, agitated, perhaps even angered, and they picked up stones as if they were going to stone him. And again, Jesus spoke and he said, I've done lots of miracles, shown you lots of things from the Father. For which one of these are you going to stone me? Interestingly, the Jews don't debate whether or not he has performed miracles, but instead they state that they are going to stone him for blasphemy because he is claiming to be God. Well, Jesus spoke again and they tried to seize him, but in John's Gospel chapter 10 verse 39, it says that Jesus escaped their grasp and he went back across the Jordan. So here we are. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The Jews aren't happy. They want to stone him, but Jesus is out of there, across the Jordan. However, word reaches Jesus that Lazarus is sick. John tells us that Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, and that Jesus loved him. There's no doubt in my mind that Mary and Martha would have sent word to Jesus for two reasons. The first being that they were friends, and this is what friends do. If a friend is sick, often you hear about it, or if you are a friend, you tell people that you're sick. But secondly, I'm sure they would have sent word to Jesus about Lazarus because they would have wanted Jesus to come and see Lazarus and make him well. After all, they were believers. They knew what Jesus was capable of, and if anyone could help their brother, it would be Jesus. Now, if this were me and this had happened, and it has happened to Dave and I, that word has come that someone that we care about is not well, then we've dropped everything and we have gone. Gone to be with the family, the person who is sick. But not Jesus. He heard the news and he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." As I said, the scripture clearly states that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But the disciples weren't sure that this was a good decision. They feared that Jesus would be stoned if they returned, and they reminded him that it was not too long ago that people were trying to do this. Jesus actually tells the disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep and that he needs to go there to wake him up. Of course, the disciples think that they know what's going on and think that they understand what Jesus is saying. Lazarus is sick, he's currently resting, he's currently sleeping, which is a good thing if you're not well. That helps your body to recover. But why does Jesus need to go, risking his own life and quite possibly theirs, just to wake someone up? So Jesus had to spell it out for them. Lazarus is dead. I can just imagine the scene here for a second. Like when you hear something and you stand there wondering if you've heard it right. Lazarus is dead? Are you sure, Jesus? Is this correct? Thanks to the disciple Thomas who spoke up, the disciples actually go with Jesus, and upon arriving, they found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Let me tell you just a little bit about what a Jewish funeral, Jewish house was like after someone had died. Normally, burial followed as quickly as possible. This was due largely to the climate of the time in this area. It was hot. So they buried the bodies quickly to avoid odour and decay. Not a very pleasant thought for a Sunday morning. As many people as possible attended the funeral, and everyone who could was supposed to join in the procession on its way to the funeral and the burial. There were also rules for the house of mourning. No food was to be prepared in the house. No meat and no wine was to be consumed. And after the burial, a meal was served that had been prepared by friends of the family. Deep mourning lasted for 7 days, and during those 7 days, it was forbidden to put shoes on, anoint oneself, study, conduct any kind of business, even to wash. The first 3 days were days of weeping. So what Jesus found when he arrived in Bethany was the norm for this time, a house full of mourners. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, possibly because she knew all along what she was going to say. Remember, she was a grieving sister. And when people grieve, they often go through this grieving step of being angry. She spoke from the heart in what William Barclay describes as one of the most human speeches in all of the Bible. It's not a long speech. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Again, very common when people are grieving that they want to put the blame on someone else or something else. Perhaps Martha would have preferred to have said, When you got our message, why didn't you come? Why did you wait two more days? And now you've left it too late. He's dead. But no sooner has she said this when she seems to remember who she's talking to, and she continues on and she says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Even through her grief and her pain, we can still see her faith. Jesus, if you ask, God will give it to you. As we heard from the scripture reading earlier, Jesus replies saying that Lazarus will rise. But again, Martha misunderstands what Jesus is saying. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, she says, identifying with the hope of the Jews. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is telling Martha that he is not just the one who speaks about and who points to the resurrection, but he is the resurrection. He is the beginning and the end of life, or the end of our earthly life and the beginning of the next life, our eternal life. I don't need to tell you that we will all pass through physical death just like Lazarus. We're all going to die. But Jesus says if we believe in him, even when we die, we will live because he is the life giver. Death is strong, but Jesus is stronger. Do you believe this? Do you have faith in him that he is the Son of God, that he is your Saviour, that he is the Saviour of the world? Do you trust him? Do you know him? Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. A couple of weeks ago, I was sharing with the leadership team about a friend of mine who passed away in June 2018. Ingrid was an amazing lady who had overcome so much. And if you look at that picture, you can see that she was a bit rough. She was tough. I used to tell her all the time she was as strong as an ox. She had a heart of gold and would do just about anything to help people. I first met her when we arrived in Adelaide in 2015, and I heard some of her story. She had first been helped by the Selvos some 20 years beforehand when she was in the city of Adelaide and got into a drunken fight, and she was taken by the police somewhere, I'm not really sure where, and the police then suggested that she get in contact with the Selvos, which she did, and she never left. Sadly, while we were living in Adelaide, Ingrid was diagnosed with cancer for the third time. She had already beaten it twice, but as the weeks went into months, it became apparent that this time it was going to be terminal. I had and still have a great love and admiration for Ingrid, and I love to sit and talk with her about life, how she'd overcome so many adversities, and her faith. Her faith was simple and was uncomplicated. She would tell me that God looked after her, that she talked to God every day, and that she served through the Selvos so proudly. But the reality was that she was dying. And I was desperate for her to spend eternity with Jesus. I would often ask God to prompt me in my conversations with Ingrid. I would question whether I had done enough, whether I'd asked enough or said enough to her. One Sunday morning, a couple of months before Ingrid passed away, the band played a piece of music in the Sunday morning service at Ingle Farm where we were. And the band were to play it this morning, but unfortunately, due to illness and a few other things, they could not do that. But they had played the tune. The piece of music is called I Know Thou Art Mine, and I tell everyone, so I'm telling you all, that I want it at my funeral, okay? Well, we are talking about dying today. But the words of this fourth verse, which were on the screen earlier, say, in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee and dwell in thy sight and sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. As the band played this music and as the words, I was reading the words on the screen, I had tears running down my face because God in his grace gave me a vision, the one and only time this has happened so far, of my friend Ingrid, healed, healthy, well, and wearing a crown on her brow. He is the resurrection and the life. Ingrid believed. I believe. And I know that even though she has died, she lives. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? The account goes on in Scripture. Mary comes to Jesus, much like her sister had, and says very similar, saying to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus went to the tomb and he asked them to roll the stone aside. Martha suggested that it probably wasn't the best idea because the smell would be terrible after 4 days. But Jesus said, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone away. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he did. Lazarus walked out of the tomb. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the giver of life. He offers us new life in the kingdom of God when we profess our faith in him. He is the good shepherd who came to give us life, life to the full. He is the bread of life. To believe in Jesus means that death has been defeated and we have an assurance of hope, a promise of eternal life. This is our faith. We're invited into a relationship with Jesus. We surrender our lives to him. We give him our all. We die to self in order that we might live. How will you respond to this today? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent Jesus to this earth, that he lived here as both a man and as God. And that from your word, these accounts of his life, we see who he really was, who he really is, the resurrection and the life. Lord, we thank you that we have this assurance, this hope of eternity with you. We thank you that you came to give us life on earth, that we can live life and have life to the full, and that you give us what we need to sustain us and to help us through our lives each and every day. Thank you that you love us and that you care for us. Thank you that you are the giver of life. Amen.